If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to a cover of The Grateful Dead's Friend of the Devil by Doom's Children, a project fronted by Canadian musician Wade McNeil. I get all kinds of pitches regarding guests for the podcast. I also pore over hundreds of hours of music that's sent to me. So when a publicist sends me a press release about a hardcore artist who has recently had a musical epiphany and is listening to The Grateful Dead while going through the roller coaster of life and recovering from addiction, I'm obviously intrigued. What makes this story even more unbelievable, for me at least, is that Wade McNeil, the artist who has created and fronts the Doom's Children project, lives here in Toronto. At no time did I ever think a member of post-punk hardcore outfit Alexis on Fire or The Gallows would ever find his way onto our show. I mean, if anything, his bandmate from Alexis on Fire, Dallas Green, who is also in City in Color, would be a better fit for the kind of music and musicians we feature on this show. Having said all that, I was intrigued enough by Wade's story and his cover, Friend of the Devil, to get him on the line to talk more about the project. Wade, I'm a little confused. You don't strike me as a gentleman who would make a record necessarily like Doom's Children. What sparked this record and sort of the sonic difference that appears on Doom's Children from other projects that you've worked on in the past?
Well, you know, as a guitar player, you know, the guitar playing I've always loved the most has been, you know, a lot of 70s bands and stuff that, you know, kind of started with the blueprint of Hendrix and people that tried to take that playing and push it in different territories. And I think that's just the, you know, that's the way I love to hear people solo and stuff. So, you know, I've always had a real affinity for 60s and 70s, like rock and psych and blues, because just the, from a musicianship standpoint, you know, it's pretty out of control. And, that being said, you know, the music that I fell in love with at a young age and made me want to, play in bands, you know, all that stuff had been ripped out of the songs, the guts of the songs that had all been taken out by those punk bands that I loved so much. And, you know, at the beginning, it was probably that made me want to start playing music, because I could see a little bit of myself in that and my limited ability. You know, I've always listened to those records, and I kind of, a few years ago, just, I don't know if it was being burnt out from touring so much or just kind of this place I found myself at emotionally, I kind of took a big step away from listening to a lot of the heavier stuff that I've been, you know, I spent most, like, a lot of my time listening to, and I just wanted to write a body of music and some songs that were nice and cozy sounding. And I think I thought at the time, you know, maybe this will help me find my way through this difficult time I'm having right now personally. And so I think that was the kind of birth of all.
You chose to cover The Grateful Dead's Friend of the Devil, which is ironic given the tumultuous time that you were having and the things that you were going through. Was that something that came out of that period, or was it a little later on when you decided to cover Friend of the Devil?
No, that was really, really early on. That was one of the, you know, when I thought about maybe making the songs with Daniel and Ian and Pat, you know, the one I wanted to try a few with them, and we recorded Morningstar, we recorded Friend of the Devil, and I thought, this is it, like, these are the people that should be playing on this record, it sounds right. And so that was a very early on one. And the Dead were certainly a band I was, I think at that time when I began making this record, I was can happen to a lot of people that start obsessing about that band. You kind of throw everything else away. And so I feel like when I was starting to write these Doom Children songs, I was just listening to the Dead. And Friend of the Devil, especially, is, I feel like, the song that kind of led me into that band, one of the first songs I really fell in love with. So, yeah, I thought it was fitting to include in this. And then, yeah, we made a bit of a U-turn in our rendition of it. But, you know, that's the beautiful thing about their music. It can be played very simplistically with an acoustic guitar, or it can be taken to outer space.
What is it about it? Is it the lyrics that allow it to be simple, or is it the musicianship on the original recordings? What is it about it that allows it sort of to have that varying degrees when people cover it? You know, there are so many tribute bands now that range from, you know, people who cover them straight on to people who punk it up with their music to people who do things like you've done with Friend of the Devil. What is it about the Grateful Dead's music that allows that to happen?
I think at the core of it, it's just really, really good songwriting. And if a song's good enough and it can be stripped down to something very, very bare bones, the potential with it is kind of endless. And the songs are just that. They're so well crafted and just really, there's nothing else like it.
Agreed. When you sat down to write songs like Trip With Me, that has that great groove, or Psych Hospital Blues, which is incredibly emotional, are you thinking about the longevity of the song, or are you thinking about just getting those words out in a cathartic way so that you can express yourself? Like, is it more important for you to think the song has longevity than it is for you to think that you're able to properly express yourself, or is it a combination thereof?
I think, luckily, I'm really not in my head that much when I'm writing music and recording it. I have a tendency to keep it as simple as, I like the way this sounds. It needs to be personally relevant to me. It needs to feel like me. And then in the studio, I just want to, especially at this point, the way I'm recording, just make sure we capture it the best way it sounds, like, in the room. And that's not to say making it sound perfect by any means. I'd say it's probably the antithesis of that, is really giving a snapshot of the way I'm playing the guitar that day, the way I'm singing that day. So, you know, all of these songs were just written, me playing an acoustic guitar, roughing them all out. And then, you know, there certainly were some melodies and, you know, ideas that I had going into them. But, you know, we were set up in Dan Romano's living room. I'd show the guys the song, and then we, you know, talk about a few ideas. You know, like, you brought up Trip With Me, and, you know, I showed them the general, like, skeleton of the song. And then, you know, I was like, I'd love this to have, like, a Dr. John kind of, like, bounce. And then we hit record, and we all just did our thing. And, you know, what's on the record is maybe take two or take three. And, you know, I went through, we recorded that. I went through, soloed over a bit of it. Danny soloed over the parts where I didn't. And that was it. We approached everything like that.
It's so interesting to me to hear somebody who fronts so many, like, hardcore and post-hardcore bands, whether it's Alexis on Fire or Gallows, talk about these artists, the landscape for you and what must be going on in your head really ranges from really dark music to brighter stuff. It's really amazing. And I guess, you know, heavier heavy year or heavy, yeah, heavy year is kind of like that bare bone thing, right? I mean, that's just Union Acoustic, basically.
Yeah, it's certainly more stripped back, and yeah, I think it lent itself to be a little bit more like that, and yeah, it's nice that all of these songs, you know, I certainly could play them all by myself, like at a show.
Right.
I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about music is playing with other people, and what I'm excited about, you know, in putting the live band together with this is, you know, having different instrumentation around, like potentially having, like, you know, not just a drummer, but also like a percussionist, having right. like a really great keys player that's like got an organ and a piano, and maybe like a Moog, and just being able to present this in a different way live than I've done in any of my other projects.
So is that the plan? The plan is to take the show on the road with this record?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a very weird couple of years for everyone involved in music. And there's a lot of people that were very, very... I think at first, there's a lot of people that were like, I'm doing digital shows. We've got to figure out a way to somehow connect with people. And, you know, my response to that was, yeah, I think I'm good on that. Mm-hmm. Some other people can do fucking YouTube covers. I'm going to sit this one out. And then kind of the early stages of looking, there was some end, like light at the end of the tunnel with COVID. Like definitely a bunch of musicians just like jumped right back in there right away. And I think similarly, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not in a rush to go stand in a field with 10,000 people. So it started when I booked these shows in December. I'm playing Massey Hall the beginning of December and Metropolis in Montreal. Those will be the first Doom's Children shows. Those felt like they were long enough away
at yeah.
the time that it might be cool. And, I'm nervous and, you know, excited to jump back into it. I can tell you, it's the first time in about 15 years I've been nervous for a show.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, just with the amount I've played, playing a concert is like the one thing in my life I don't worry about.
Right.
You know, it's where things feel natural. It's where I feel I have 100% confidence in what I'm doing. It feels good. I'm excited about it. It's the one thing in my life I feel like that. Literally everything else, you know, renewing my driver's license, doing my taxes, going to the gym. Everything else feels like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
But playing a show is the comfortable spot. And honestly, it's been long enough that I haven't done it that I'm a little shook. I'm sure it'll come back to me. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the main project right now? I mean, I know that Alexis had a couple of reunion shows probably just before COVID hit, I think, if I remember correctly. Is this it right now? I mean, is this the plan to just work on Doom's Children and maybe make more records and sort of stay on this project for now?
Yeah, I mean, in the immediate future, I'm going to be, you know, starting to play out with the band in December. Hitting the road with the band.
Yeah.
So, like, it's certainly, like, my number one focus right now. I think, you know, with Alexis is one of the kind of saving graces of COVID was, I don't know, like Alexis jammed a lot. We rehearsed in a way too that was like more like the way we rehearsed in 2001 because no one was doing anything. So we'd like go play play some tunes, order a pizza, watch Escape from New York.
Right.
And we haven't done that in a minute. So we're all very excited to like get back on the road. Alexis is certainly going to be playing a fair amount next year, but that also facilitates, you know, probably in a bit of a easier way, Doom's Children maybe doing more shows. In that, you know, I fly over to England to do one festival show where we're only allowed to do one festival show, like outside of London.
Yeah.
And then fly the rest of the band over and go across the UK with Doom's Children. So I think it'll facilitate me doing both quite a bit next year.
Have you formed that band already? I would assume so. If you're playing Massey Hall in December, that band already exists.
I'm in the process of putting it together. I think I got everybody lined up. It's important to me that the live band that's going to be playing on this record can do all the shows and that we can actually go on tour and we can grow as a band. In some other projects that I've done that are more like solo efforts, like Black Lungs, I've kind of just, you know, whatever my friends that aren't on tour at the moment that are around the city have come out and done the shows, which is fun and it leads it to sounding a little bit different and it's very spontaneous. But I'd really like to, you know, to be able to find our pace with this and just be able to push it, and especially in a more improvisational sense, live. So I really want to line up people that are going to be able to, you know, be on the road with me for the next couple of years. So I think I've got it lined up, and yeah, Massey Hall ain't bad for a first gig, so I'm excited for that.
For sure. Dude, thanks so much for taking the time, and thanks for this record. It's when I heard you were making a record inspired by bands that our audience listens to, and I know a bit about you and your background and what you went through, I was really psyched to hear it, and I think you've done a marvelous job. So congrats on the record. Looking forward to hearing about the live show or even taking in the live show, and I'm excited to see what happens with this project, man.
Thank you so much. Great chatting with you, man.
Fascinating stuff from a guy who knows a lot about music, no matter the genre. I dig the whole Doom's Children vibe, and you will too. For more, visit doomschildrenstream.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another original, very psychedelic tune off of Doom Children's debut. Here is Flower Moon.
Lie awake at night.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.